Hi, everybody. Welcome back. The plan today is to talk about sorting, which is one of my favorite topics in computer science. This will be very fun for me. And I wanted to make a couple administrative comments first. Let's see. What do we got? So homework four, the plan was to have that due Monday. There were a couple glitches that were keeping it from actually being posted on the website. I kept putting it there, and Sakai kept taking it away. And ultimately, I asked Sakai, I read more carefully the procedure for submitting things on Sakai, and it says, if you do not follow this sequence of actions, your thing will not get posted. And I was only following half of it instead of all of it. But anyway, it should be there now. I haven't heard anyone tell me that it was, but I haven't heard anyone tell me that it wasn't. So I think it's there. If you were desperate to be working on it and you haven't been able to find it and we need to extend the time that you have to work on it a little bit, we might do that. But at the moment, I have found that basically it's more or less the night before anyway that people were working on it. So the idea that, you missed 2 days in the beginning, I suspect that hasn't really impacted anyone. But yeah, definitely let me know if you feel it has, and we'll see what we can do about that. I did not get all the exams back. I now have 3/4 of the exams back. I've also posted the sample answers, though, because everyone who I believe is in the class has taken the exam. So you should have those. If you want me to go over any of those questions, if the descriptions that I gave weren't adequate, or you don't remember the question well enough to make the descriptions make sense, let me know. I can go over those. We might, we could think about scheduling a little like midterm review where, you can have access to your exams and I can show you the problems and talk them through and so forth, make sense out of it. At the moment, I don't see a big demand for that, but let me know. I did get one question about homework four. Question one, well, let me show you the question and then clarify. All right, so question one, I give 3 descriptions of scripts. What does this script do? And there's 3 choices. There's A, B, and C. And then there's 3 scripts, mystery 1, mystery 2, mystery 3. You need to match them up. So each of these matches one of the descriptions. Each of the descriptions matches one of these. You just have to pair them up. So you write, where it says A here, you write either mystery 1, mystery 2, or mystery 3. Whichever of those scripts fits the description that I gave. Okay? Is that clear? We'll do a clicker question that's sort of similar to this in a moment, so I'm hoping that will also give you some practice with that idea. Okay, without any further ado, I've got 2 clicker questions that we can look at. So let's do that. All right, so last time we talked about graphs and some terminology on graphs, so here's a chance to practice that a little bit. So you've got the picture of a graph here with 6 nodes, A, B, C, D, E, and F. This could represent a bunch of web pages, it could represent a subway graph or a city, a couple blocks, whatever it represents. And the question is, here are 5 statements about this graph. One of them is not true. Which one is not true? A is, it has no source. B is, it has no sink. C is, D, C, E, F, D is a cycle. D, C, E, F, D. Choice D is, there is no A to F path. Choice E is, A, B, D, C, E, F, D, C, A is a tour. So all of these are true of the graph, except for one of them. If you see one that's not true, that should be your choice. Good night. Stop this in a couple seconds. Maybe we need a little bit more time. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There are fewer of us, or there are fewer people taking action? All right, I'm going to stop. Oh, that's interesting. So D and E cannot both be false. No, sorry. If D is false, then E also has to be false. Right? If there's no A to F path, then you can't go A, B, D, C, E, F, because that would go A to F. So if you chose D, you would have had to also choose E. So D can't be the right answer. Does anyone want to try to argue for any of the other answers? Yeah. Oh, there's no A to A. Negation. All right. So there is an A to F path, and therefore there is no A to the F path is false, which means that's the right answer.
Right.
Right.
Well, thank you. Okay, so the correct answer is D. I was quite stumped. I think I clicked on A, so I definitely got that one wrong. And I don't think it's because I didn't understand what paths were. I think I actually just... Yeah, anyway, you heard me. All right. Well, good job. Thank you for that. Double points for everybody. Whatever that means. All right. One more question. So this isn't related to the last lecture, but there's a couple questions like this. There's a question like this on the homework. There's going to be a question like this on the final. We should probably make sure that we have a chance to kind of look at these. So here's a question called Who Am I? This is a little script called Who Am I? And what does it do? Well, let's say that there's a list. This is a Scratch script. There's a list data structure somewhere in this Scratch program that has the following numbers in it. 78, 10, 65, 72, 31, 40, 27, 49, 31, and 96 in that order. And so we click on this script, and we have to ask, what is it going to say? It's either going to say yes or no. I guess another option would have been it runs forever, but it doesn't, so I can give you that as an option. It's going to stop. It's going to say yes and stop, or it's going to say no and stop. And now the question is, what will it say and why? Choice A is it will say yes, because the script is actually asking, is the list length 10? So this is, the list is length 10. Does it say yes? And the reason is because the script is answering the question, are there 10 things in the list? Does it says this script will say no, and the reason is because it's answering the question, is the sum 10? Is the sum of all the elements in the list 10? Choice C is it will say no, and the reason is because this script answers the question, is the first element of the list 10? Which it's not. Choice D is it will say yes, and the reason it will say yes is because it's actually answering the question, does this list contain the number 10 somewhere in it, which it does. Or is it going to answer E, no, and the reason being that this script answers the question, are all elements of the list equal to 10? And they're not, so it would say no.
Can you do the
lights down a little in front? It's hard to see it.
So you can read the script better?
I will try. I'm going to say that's not the light switch.
All right. That's the fire alarm. I'm not going to trip. That did nothing? Did it do anything? Okay, that called the police. Does that one do anything?
No.
Okay. There's an actual light switch on the wall here that is labeled emergency. This is important, right? No, I'm not going to put that one. All right, next switch. There's also, by the way, outside of this room, there's a big sign that says in use, like in a recording studio. Wouldn't it be cool if we could turn that on and be like, but I couldn't figure out which switch. I walked around someone else's class clicking switches, turning their lights on and off just to see if I could do it, but I couldn't figure it out. All right, so now the ones directly at the screen are off.
Yeah. With the yes or no answer, is it asking, like, for the yes or no in the answers, are you asking, is it eventually going to say yes or no, or is it answering yes or no to the first, like, question it's doing, like, if item 1 equals 10?
Right, it's going to run for a while,
so yes,
and then
no,
ultimately it will stop saying yes or no. Yeah, so when it finally says something, will it be yes or no, and why? Like, what is the script actually doing? Okay? So this is one of these things where you actually kind of have to read it and figure out what it's asking and try to perceive it as a question, as something that it's constructed to answer a particular question. Are there any symbols that you're having trouble reading? There's a little green equal sign there that might be hard to see. And the orange thing is the letter I, the variable I. I'm going to answer mine. About 50% agreement at the moment. All right, I'll give another no more than 10 seconds. Anyone need a little more time? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, so any questions about this one? Anything that I can answer before I go into an explanation? This requires a little bit of thought, so I'm hoping that if you weren't able to figure it out, you'll have a question. Hope springs eternal. All right. So how are we supposed to figure out what this thing is doing? So let's take a distant look at it first. We see it's a script. We see that it sets a variable I to 1 in the beginning, and then most of it is this big repeat loop. After the repeat loop, it says no and stops. So just so far, all we know, the analysis we've done so far just says, hey, it's going to run for a while, and either it will stop in the middle of running, or if it finishes its repeat loop and gets all the way to the bottom, it will say no, and the script will end. All right, well, so how many times does it go through this loop? How many repetitions of the loop does it do? 2, is that what you said? No? 10, why 10? That's the length of the list, right? Not because of the 10 that's in green there, right? But because it says repeat length of deck, and deck is the list of 10 items. So it's going to repeat 10 times. Or if the list was longer, it would repeat however many times the list was. Okay? So it's doing something. It's repeating some operation, essentially, for every element of the list. So what is it actually doing? In each time through the loop, it runs an if statement. And the if statement says, all right, Take item I of the deck. Well, I started out at 1, and if you look at the bottom of the loop, I is changing by 1 at each iteration. So it's actually I is stepping through each element of the list from the first one to the 10th one. So it's asking a question about each element I of the list. And what the question that it asks is that item, is the ith item of the list equal to 10? So, you know, it looks at the first item and says, are you equal to 10? If the answer is yes, it says yes and stops. If the answer is no, it goes on to the next item in the list and says, are you 10? No? All right, we'll go on. Are you 10? No? All right, go on. Are you 10? Yes. Okay, I'm going to say yes and stop. So as soon as it finds something in the list that's equal to 10, it says the word yes and it stops. If it gets all the way through the list and never finds a 10, then it will say no. So what is it doing in English? How would we, you know, it's answering a question, a yes-no question. How would we, you know, express that question in English? It's asking, is there a 10 in the list? Anywhere in the list, is there a 10? So that's what it's asking. And so that was the answer. All right? Now, a lot of these questions, actually, I made it so all the questions had 10 in them. So there is something 10-ish going on here. But if we wanted to ask, is the length of the list 10, we would have just said, you know, if length of deck equal 10, say yes. If we wanted to know if the sum was 10, we would have had to keep a running sum of all the elements of the list, which we didn't do. Is the first element of the list 10? All you have to do for that is say, if item 1 of deck equals 10. And the last question, are all elements of the list equal to 10? What we'd actually be asking is we check for each one and we'd say, are you equal to 10? If no, then it will actually stop right away and say no. If they all answer yes, then the end of the loop, it'll say yes, they were all equal to 10. So I have to reverse things around and change the yeses to no and change this equals to a does not equal. But that changes the meaning of the loop from is there a 10 to are they all 10? Switches it around. All right, now that you've seen the answer and the explanation, is there any question about that? Anything I could do to clarify? So on the homework, there's three loops, all of which look a lot like this. But they all do slightly different things, and you have to match up the English description with the script. Okay? Okay. All right. That was mostly because you probably need a little practice with it. All right. Then let's switch into the next part of the lecture. All right. So we started talking about Google, and I said that Google has kind of three really main components to it that lets it do what it does. The first one is this notion of a web crawl, or search, where it downloads all the pages that it can find by following the links. And it keeps doing that. It keeps going through the web, finding pages pointed to by other links. How does that start, do you suppose? How do they start this search? They need to find things on the web. Where do you suppose they start this search? What would you do? If you were just trying to see what kind of things were out there on the web, you can't just guess random URLs. That's going to be garbage. So what are you going to do? You have to start someplace. What would be a good place to start? Yeah?
The most visited sites.
Like, but how do you know what those are? Like what? Like, what would that be?
Yes, Google.
Problem. Right? Google. If Google didn't know, you can ask the previous iteration of Google. It can improve on itself. But at some point, this has to bottom out. There had to be a start to this. Yeah?
Typing keywords.
Typing keywords to what? To Google. See, we have to break this loop somehow. Yeah?
Start an encyclopedia.
So go to, like, you mean like Encyclopedia Britannica? There is such a website, but I don't think it points to anything. I would start at a site that I know has lots of pointers to other things that are out there. Yahoo. Right? So Yahoo at least started out as a bunch of people who found cool things by talking to friends or by visiting other companies and so forth, and then they compiled a hierarchically organized ontology. Right? Hierarchically organized means it's organized like a tree, and an ontology is basically sort of a compendium of knowledge and how things relate to each other. So they compiled yet another hierarchically organized ontology.
Can I
See it?
Oh, yeah.
Yet another hierarchically organized ontology. And that's what it was. It was just a bunch of people making a big tree of all the websites that they could find and that were cool. If they found out that their college, a good friend of theirs' college now had a website, back then that was news and they'd send it around and they'd stick it in their directory. And so that's a really good place to start, right? So Google, if it just points to the beginning of Yahoo and starts tracing out all the things that Yahoo knows about, that will get to lots of sites. Those sites will each reach other sites, and it ends up being a really useful thing. But it took people to get this bootstrapped, to get it started, right? So so step one is this notion of a web crawl. But now think about this. So Google goes and collects all these pages, and now it has this enormous stack of, certainly hundreds of millions of individual web pages and all the contents and so forth, and even a lot of the images and a lot of the other garbage that's associated with those pages. Now what? Now somebody comes by and says, hey, what's our word? Ginaflip or something. Jizzlewizzle?
Jizzlerub.
Jizzlerub, right. So now somebody comes Jizzlerub, and what does Google have to do? It has to figure out which of these hundreds of millions, if not billions of pages, have that word in it. Which sounds like it could take a long time, right? Certainly would take you a long time to go through and read all those pages and find things. So what I'm going to talk about today is this notion of indexing. How do you build a giant index so that when a word comes, we can very quickly say, hey, these are the pages that have that word in them. It's like an index in the back of a giant book. And then later in the semester, we'll talk a little bit about the third step, which is distributed search. So now there's not just one person asking questions. It's not like a dictionary and there's one person flipping through it. There's actually, hundreds of millions of people each day, isn't it, asking questions to Google. How does it answer all those questions so fast? So, and mainly that's just, lots of computers doing the work in parallel. But today's focus is going to be on this indexing piece. And essentially, the way this happens is by sorting. You take all the words in all of the web pages, and you put them in alphabetical order. Why? Because that makes it really easy to find something. You can just go through, you know where to look in the list for the words that people type. So sorting is a powerful thing to be able to do. It's turned out to actually be not so hard to solve. I'm sure you've sorted things yourself. It turns out to be extremely important. And what's fun about it from a computer science education standpoint is there's lots of really clever algorithmic ideas that go into building an efficient search algorithm. So it gives me an opportunity to tell you about some cool stuff. One of the main lessons to take from this is there's more than one way to do it. One problem, but lots of different ways to attack it. More than one way to skin a cat. So let's see. Is that at all legible? So this is, remember last time I showed a little piece of the web that had a course homepage and my homepage and my Google WAC page, a whole bunch of pages. I took all the words on those pages and I just listed them up on the screen. And along with which page number it appears on. I did it in the order of the pages. So I first did all the things that are on page number three, then all the ones that are on page number four, all the ones that are on page number nine, and that's all I had room for. So there was 9 or 10 pages altogether, but I couldn't, even with this tiny font, couldn't fit them all up here. But now if I asked you a question like, hey, what page has the word socks on it? Can you do it? What'd you say? Four? How did you do it? Just kind of looked at it. What's that? You see it up there or you remember? It's right there. It's just right there. It's right where? Can you see it? Let's see. Right there. Right? You see it? Actually, there's two nearly next to each other. It says socks, P-Y, socks, P-Y. So that worked. All right, what about the word, homepage? Just yell it out if you see it. 9, yeah, where did you see it? Wait, it's second to last column, about 10 words down, right? Okay, and how did I do that so fast? I did that so fast because first I found something and then I just read it to you, so I knew where it was. But you had the harder problem of finding the needle in the haystack. Which you did relatively fast, but this is 3 very small web pages. Imagine if it was hundreds of millions, if not billions. So this is not a good way of organizing things if you want to find stuff fast. All the information's there, we can sift through it, but it's slow and error-prone to skim through every page every time we want to find something. If you think about it this way, imagine that there's n words that have been found on the web for some very large value of n. If we were going to go, if our algorithm to find this was to either just jump around at random, seeing what's there, that seems kind of error prone.
A systematic way to do it would be to start at the first page and just, you know, read through. Is this the word that I'm looking for? Is this the word I'm looking for? Is this the word I'm looking for? Kind of like the way that I wrote that little scratch routine for finding whether or not a list had a 10 in it. So if we're looking for the word homepage, we could just start reading all the words. All right, now if that word is not in any of the pages, if it's Jeezle Rub with a J, which I don't think is in any page that Google knows about, then what is the running time of an algorithm that goes through all the way through the list and at the end says, oh, I'm sorry, I don't see that word? Is it like log n? Is it like n squared? Is it like n? Is it like n log n? So the list has length n, and it takes us some unit of time to look at each element in the list. So what's the total running time going to be? What's that?
Log n.
Why? Why not? We haven't had a log in a while. We'll get to log in. This isn't it, though. We'll be there shortly. It's list is length n. How much of the list do we have to look through to know that the word's not there?
N,
right? So how long is it going to take? It's going to take big O of n. That's right. So that's bad, right? So as the web gets bigger and bigger and bigger, this search would take longer and longer and longer. But of course, we can organize the data to make it easier to find. So this is the same list as before, except I've done two things. One is, if a word appears on a page twice, I collapsed it into one. And secondly, I put everything in alphabetical order. All right, so now we'll try the same exercise. It took us a couple beats to find homepage. It took us a couple beats to find, what was yours? Socks. It's always good to find socks. This morning I used a pair of socks to try to get a bird out of my kitchen. I had an actual bird in my kitchen. I think it actually squeezed in through a vent because it's freaking cold outside. And the bird was like, oh, it's warmer here. It's warmer here. And suddenly it was inside my kitchen. And it was very, very sad. All right, so, okay, I'm not sure how I got to that. But, all right, ready? Here's a word. We're looking for scrolling.
Three.
Yeah, that was really fast. In fact, I don't know. Did you? It just came to you really quickly.
I was actually looking at it.
You happened to have been looking at it. He was really, you couldn't see him because he was in the back, but he went like this. It was very smooth. All right, let's do another one since he made that one too easy. Okay, exception.
Four.
Man, right? It's a lot easier when they're alphabetized, right? Because your eyes just went, oh, that's the word target. That's the wrong part of the alphabet. Let's go this way. Concatenating. No, that's, we need to come a little bit back this way. Oh, fine, final, explicitly, exception, done. Right? Just, and you're right there. The running time, so you didn't use a very systematic algorithm, but if we try to turn that into an algorithm, it might be something like this. Start off near the middle. Look to see what word is there. The word you're looking for is either before or after it in the alphabet. If it's before it in the alphabet, just forget about the second half of the list and just focus on this new smaller list. Again, we'll start in the middle of that smaller list, and the word that's there will tell us if the word we're looking for is in the left or the right half of what's left. Again, we throw away half. So if we have n things in this list, each time we check a word in the list, we can throw away half the list that we have. So it starts off with, you know, if it starts off with 1024, after the first check, we can throw away 512 the first 512 or the second 512. How many times can we do that before we're left with exactly the thing we're looking for, the one thing we're looking for? So how many times can we take 1024 and then it goes down, it's 512. The next time we do a probe, it gets smaller to 256, 128.
Log n.
Boom. All right. So log, remember, log is the number of times you can take a number and split it in half until you get down to one. And that's essentially what this search routine's doing, right? If you pick a spot in the middle, because they're sorted, you know you can throw away the first half or the second half. And so the length of the list keeps halving. It only takes log n to do that. So if we're talking about a billion web pages, a linear search through that takes like a billion somethings. But log of a billion, it's like 20, 30, 40, 30. So about 30. Which is a lot smaller than a billion, right? So, and computers can do 30 things really, really fast, so the blink of an eye. So this is not a big deal. Sorting gives an incredible speed up to being able to find information like this. So here's another game. Here's two lists of numbers. I don't know, how many numbers are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 50 numbers. They're all three-digit numbers. On the top are those 50 numbers unsorted, just in some scrambled order, the order that I generated them in. The second list is those same numbers, but in a sorted order. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to think of some, remember, decision problems on lists. These are yes-no questions we can ask about a list of numbers. Let's think about some decision problems on lists and say, is it easier to answer this question in the sorted list or the unsorted list? Do we get any benefit out of the fact that the list is, whether the list is sorted or not? And different questions are going to have different answers. All right, so I'll get things started. So here's an easy one. I'm going to ask the question, is 120 the smallest element in the list? Okay, the answer is no. And how much work did it take to do that? How did you solve the problem? What's that? You used the sorted numbers, and how did you use them? You look at the very first number, which is going to be the minimum, the smallest, right? So once they're sorted, if I ask you a question about the minimum, it takes you unit time, big O of 1, we call it, right? You go straight to the first element of the list and ask, oh, if that's the minimum, is the minimum equal to what he asked, yes or no? How would you have to do that in the unsorted list? You have to go through the whole list. So anything about the min is going to take big O of N in the unsorted list, but big O of 1 in the sorted list. It doesn't grow with N at all. I give you the sorted list. It can be 7 trillion elements long, but you just go to the first element. You just go straight there, and you can answer your question. So that's an example of a question where having the sorted list improves things tremendously. We already talked about, is the number 276 in the list?
Yes.
Yes, and where? And did it? Was it helpful to use the sorted list, or did you use the unsorted list?
Sorted.
The sorted list. Sorted list, we do it log n. Unsorted list, it takes n. All right, here's another question. Is there any number whose second digit is a 2?
Yes.
Okay. Did it help for the list to be sorted or not? How did you do it? Ha! All right, that's good. All right, is there one that has 4? Yeah, there's another one with 4. Is there one that has a 0 in the second digit?
907.
Yeah.
806.
What?
907, 806, 407. Does it matter if I give you a sorted list or an unsorted list to answer a question like that? No, because the sorting doesn't tell you anything about the second digit, really. So how long would it take? Well, if the answer was no, if I gave you a number is there one that has pi as the second digit? I don't know. All the digits are probably up there. But if I asked you a question and there just so happens that the second digit didn't have, none of the second digits were that number, you'd have to go all the way through the list. So the running time would be, thought I heard it, n, big O of n. Sorted or unsorted, it wouldn't make any difference. All right, so let's, what other sort of questions can we ask about this list where it might matter or might not matter? The phone books are like this too, right? Phone books are generally sorted, so you can find things fast. But if I wanted to ask a question like, oh, Shmuel, what's Shmuel's phone number? Shmuel's his first name. You're stuck, right? The sorting of the phone book doesn't help you find Shmuel. You have to know his last name. Or what? Or you're stuck flipping through the phone book page by page by page. And that's kind of like the second digit question that I just asked. If I asked you, is there anything up there where the first digit is a 5? You say yes, partly because those are just going to be yes, but partly because in the sorted list you can find the 5s really fast because they're sorted. And the leading digit, it's sorted by the leading digit, and then ties are broken by the second digit. Okay, so what other kind of questions might we ask? I asked about the min. Is there any other things like that you could ask? There's the min, there's the max. And which one is it easier to find the max? Sorted list. Anything else that are generally you need the sorted list to help you find? Min, max, median. Where is it easier to find the median? In the sorted list. How long does it take to find the median in the sorted list? What's that?
There's 55.
Yeah, but how long would it take? So you know that. So you know what the length is. You know to look. So you can just look directly. It's hard to do if you're a computer. These are arranged like in a filing cabinet, right? And so you just go straight to the 25th drawer and you just open it up and see what's in there. So finding the median is big O of 1, it's constant time, in the sorted list. But in the unsorted list, well, what the heck? It's sort of unclear what to do other than, well, first sort it and then do it in O of 1. It turns out there is something smarter to do than that, but I don't think we'll get a chance to talk about it. What else? Mean, median. What about the mean? Doesn't help to have it sorted, right? How would you find the mean? You have to run through the whole list, summing it up, and then divide by the number of elements. So that's big O of n. You have to go through the list of all n elements. Whether it's sorted or not doesn't make a difference. Let's see. All right. So this, you have to think a little bit for this one. So first, I need to think a little bit. All right. So is there a pair of numbers that add up to 1,200? And does it help to have a sorted list? Just a pair of numbers. It's not trivial for either of them. Yeah.
438
and 762 were the two that I was thinking of. Yes. Yeah, I know, these are your problems. You're good at them. Well, how did you do it?
I just threw it out again.
Just from the unsorted list? See, it works too well for you guys when you do that. Because it sort of anti-makes my point. So you don't want to be just choosing random pairs. If you choose random pairs, it's going to be like n squared. So how many pairs of numbers are there in the list? There's n for the first number, and then all but that one. So n minus 1 for the second number, which is like n squared, n times n minus 1. But in the sorted list, you can actually do something more clever. You can do it in linear time, big O of n. Well, one way you could do it would be something like this. You could check, this isn't quite linear, but it's still pretty clever. So you go through the list. You say, okay, 415. So 415 could be part of the pair. What would the other number have to be for it to sum up to 1,200? Well, we just do a quick subtraction problem, which is tedious for us, but computers are really good at that. It's really tedious for me. All right, 785. So then, which list is easier to find out if 785 is in there? The sorted one, right. So 785 is not in there, but it's close. So we could go through each number in this list, and for each number say, what would the other number have to be to get it to add to 1,200? Is that number in the list? So what would that algorithm be? You check for each of the n items in the list, you do a search to find its partner. The search, how long does the search take? In the sorted list, it's just for the search, it's just log n. Right? If you want to just check for one number, you check, oh, is it in the middle? No. Is it in the what's left? No. Is it what's left? It takes log n times to check for a single number, but we're repeating that n times. So that's an n log n algorithm. For each number in the sorted list, we say, is the other part of the pair that needs to add up to the target, is it in there? And it does what's called a binary search to find it. If it finds it, you're done. If it doesn't, it moves on to the next number. So n numbers, we do a search of size log n. So that's kind of cool, actually. It's better than n squared. It's better than comparing all pairs. But it's still not as good as we can do. We can actually make a linear time algorithm for this. So let me see if I can explain how you do that. Oh, actually, it's not hard at all. So we take the first number, the 124, and we say, what's the partner of 124? What would the other number in the pair have to be so it adds up to 1,200? Okay, it would have to be 1,076. Now, 1,076 would be off the end of the list, so we don't even have to go into the list and check. Now we start moving to the left. We say 126. We just went up 2, so the pair would have to go, the partner would have to go down 2. So now we're checking for 1074. Well, that's not in there. So we go up another one, which goes up, what, 21. So this would have to go down 21. 3, 5, which is 1053. Still, there's nothing to do. So for each of these, we've had to do basically no work. What's going to start happening is as we get on the inside, the numbers, we're going to start having to go backwards on the other side of the list. So we're going to have one set of numbers that we're considering from the top of the list and one from the bottom of the list, and we work towards the middle. And eventually we get to the point where we're at, I don't know, what was it, 438. We get to 438, and by then we've gone backwards in the list up to the point where we find the pair and they just meet up. So at each step in the way, we're sort of whittling down from both sides, and it ends up being linear time instead of having to search the whole list. We know we're always coming down in one number as we go up in the other. All right, so I didn't explain that all the way. It's probably kind of a pain in the neck for you to do this by hand anyway, but just to give you a sense that there's one problem that with, even with a sorted list, we have different algorithms for how we can deal with it. Let's hear other things in my list. Max, min, median, we talked about. A pair that adds up to a target, we talked about. What about repeated number? Is there a repeated number in the list?
Yes.
What is it?
212.
How did you do that? No, I don't agree.
569.
How did you do that? Look for pairs where?
In the sorted list.
Right, in the unsorted list, you're stuck n squared. You're stuck, hey, here's a number, here's another number. Are they the same? No? Okay, here's another pair. In the sorted list, we just start going through, because if there's a repeated pair, if there's a repeated number, it has to be next to itself in the sorted list. Right? So that's really easy to check. We say 124, no, the next one's different, and we get down to 569, and we see the very next number is also 569, and we're done. So in the unsorted list, finding a duplicate is n squared. In the sorted list, finding a duplicate is what? For each element, we're checking if the one right after it is the same. If it's not, we just check the next pair. So it's... Yeah, but big O ignores constants like over 2. So it's n. Big O of n. Yeah. And actually, it's n minus 1, not n over 2. Because you can't check... Anyway. Yeah. It's all right. That's a linear operation. We can just scan through the list. So that's kind of a cool example of a problem that is also easier to answer in the sorted one. But things like sum and average and length, whether or not there's a number in the list divisible by 7, those all... It doesn't make a difference if it's sorted or unsorted. All right, so if it's so great to have sorted lists, how do we make them? If someone gives us a sorted list, terrific. But if someone gives us an unsorted list and we really want to be able to do those sorted things fast, how do we sort them? So I'm going to talk about mainly, well, 2.5 kinds of sorts and compare and contrast them for you. So the first sort is just pretty much the simplest thing that I could think of, but it works. And it's probably what you would do if I gave you a big stack of cards and you had to sort them. So it goes like this. We go through the list one at a time. And as we go through the list, we keep track of the smallest item we've seen so far. So we take the whole list and we find the min. Now once we have the min, we pull it out of the list. And we put it at the front. Actually, we can add it to a new list. So if we start off with our unsorted list, and then we have our sorted list, which is initially empty. We find the smallest element in the unsorted list, remove it, and put it in at the end of the sorted list. And then what do? We just repeat this. Get the smallest one in what's left. That'll be the second smallest in the full list. Put it in place. So I'll just do this on the board in case it's not clear. I think it is. At least ought to be. All right. All right, so here's our unsorted list. So selection sort, this is unsorted, and this is sorted. So selection sort says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to run through this list and find the smallest element in it. Then we're going to take it out and stick it at the end of our sorted list. So what does it do first? It goes through 41, 17, 62, 13, 91, 82, 60. What was the smallest?
13.
So we take 13 out of the list and put it on our sorted list. This is, it's selection in that we're selecting out the next one, one at a time. All right, then we go through again. We say 41, 17, 62, 91, 82, 60. What's the smallest? 17. So we take it out of that list and put it in our sorted list. And we go again. All right, we've got 41, 62, 91, 82, 60. 41. All right, there's less left now. 62, 91, 82, 60. 60, 62, 91, 82. What's the smallest? Oh, look, a sorted list. And now we can do all those fun sorted list things because we've sorted the list. All right. So this is a perfectly reasonable sort. It really does run. It really does the right thing. It's not that hard to code up. Here it is in Scratch. Here's not in Scratch. That's not right. Okay. I get that you don't like it. I just don't know what to do. There we go. All right. All right, so this is a little sorting program that I wrote. This is, we've got 100 cards, or actually they're 104 digit numbers, but I think of them as being like cards in a deck. If we click on the deck, it makes a list and puts all of, just a random set of numbers in this this list called deck. So these are unsorted, this is unsorted. This guy is selection sort. If I click on him, well, the first thing he does is he makes space in his sorted list. But now, one at a time, he's going through and finding the smallest number in the deck, deleting it from the deck and putting it in the sorted list. Can you see that? You see how the sorted list is growing just like it was on the board? What's going on with the speed at which it's adding elements to this list? It doesn't take too long. But it's getting a little faster as it goes. Just a little bit. Why is that?
Because they're running out of options in the deck. So.
It's running out of options. It's like the TV show 24 or something. No, it's there's fewer things in deck that it has to search through to find the minimum.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Right. There's fewer things to choose from. Right, and so, okay, it's cranking along. Now it's done 21 out of the 100, 22. 23. It's still not zippy fast, but it is going through and making a sorted list. And if you look, let's see what's the sorted list so far. It starts out at 1,000 something, and it's gone down to 3,000 something. And you can look at the deck, and all that's left are things like, you know, 4 and 6 and 8,000. But they're still not sorted over here. It's slowly working its way through. Grab, grab, grab. All right. Let's look, okay, while it's doing this, it's continuing to go, let's actually look at the code. So here's what selection sort's doing. It says, well, first it just clears out the deck. That's no big deal. It sets a timer so we can see how long this is going to take. And then it repeats. How many times does it have to select things? Well, it has to do each element of the deck. It has to fill up the sorted list one at a time. So we're going to repeat the length of the deck. For each one, we're going to first broadcast find me the smallest element in the deck. Then insert the smallest element of the deck into the sorted list, which you can't see, but that's what it says. Then it deletes the smallest out of the deck. So it's find me the smallest, so it finds it. Then it says, make a copy of that, put it in the sorted list, then remove it from the unsorted list. Okay. The algorithm for finding the smallest looks like this. Oh, it just finished. Okay. Or did it? Or did I kill it? Oh, I believe it did not like that I stopped it in the middle. Bummer. All right.
All right, we're gonna let's do fewer elements here. We'll do how many should we sort? We'll sort 30. This should be a bit faster. It'll find each of the smallest faster because there's fewer things to sort from, and it will build this up more slowly. All right, so each time it has to look and find the smallest element in what's left. How do you do that? It's just another loop, right? Repeat for, it starts off looking at the, it says the first one is the smallest. Now we're going to start looking, oh, it's done. There we go. It took 17.54 seconds. So what did it do here? So it starts off saying, okay, the smallest that we've seen so far is whatever's first in the list, because we haven't seen anything yet. And now let's start looking from the second one forward. We're going to repeat for all the remaining elements of the list, which is the size of the DAC minus 1. We're going to say if it's the case that the I element, the one we're looking at now, is smaller than the smallest we've found so far, then I is the new smallest. And then we go and check the next I. So basically what it's doing is keeping track. As it's running through the list, it has a variable called smallest, which is pointing to whichever one in the list, whatever position in the list, is the smallest we've seen so far. And every time it finds something smaller, it points to that instead. So by the time that's all over, this variable smallest says exactly which element of the list is the smallest, and then the other routine actually goes and puts it into position. All right, so if the list has n elements in it, how long does selection sort take to do the whole sorting? Remember, what it's doing is it's looping through every element in the list, and for each element, it's looking through the whole list to find the smallest. So the first time through, if there's n elements in the list, how many elements does it have to look through to find the smallest?
N.
Good. All right, the second time through, one of them has been taken out. How many things does it have to look through now to find the new smallest? N minus 1. That's right. N minus 2. And when does this stop? When it gets down to one or zero things in the list. Okay? So it looks through the whole list, and then it gets a little smaller. It looks through the whole list that's left, and then it gets smaller. And eventually, there's just one thing left that is the smallest. It moves it into the new list. What is this? This big O of what? We've seen this a bunch of times. Picture this is 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 all the way up to n. It's not n. 1 plus 2, 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4, right? The thing that we're summing is getting bigger and bigger and bigger until it's like a whole big triangle of values, which is n high and n wide at the base. So it's basically like n squared over 2. So this is big O of n squared. Selection sort takes n squared. It basically has to look at all pairs of items in the list to sort it. Which is not bad. You could do worse. But it's not as good as you can do. Does that make some sense? You're getting a feel for selection sort and what it's doing? Is that a question? No? All right. So good. So selection sort. Awesome. It's easy to implement. It's all scratch stuff that you've seen before. It's all very reasonable. And we can even analyze it. It's great. Here's the code. It took about 2.5 minutes to sort 100 items. And it takes n squared to sort. Now there's other ways to doing sorting. So if you had to sort, let's say that we called n people down to the front, which I don't think I'll do for time reasons, but call n people down to the front and have you sort yourself by height or something like that. What would the algorithm you use to do that be? How would you kind of organize yourselves? You could do like a selection sort thing, right? Which is somebody goes through the whole list and finds the shortest person, takes the shortest person out, puts in a new line, finds the shortest of who's left. Any other ways you could do that? There are other ways. Don't make me sort you.
keep comparing to like first message.
Say it again? So everybody's lined up, and you look at the person to your right, and you see if you're taller or shorter, and if you're out of order, what do? You do-si-do, right? You switch positions.
Okay? And it's just you keep doing that. You just keep checking to see if the people around you are in the right order, you don't have to do anything. But if not, then you have to switch positions. And you might have to switch in both directions, depending on if you know shorter or taller people are coming from the other way. But eventually, it will stop. Right? Eventually, you'll sort yourselves out. And the reason for that is, it won't stop until everybody knows that they're in the right order. If we introduce a new person, a new tall person goes to the front of the list, that person has to bubble through the list, right? Keep switching with everybody until that person is all the way at the tall side. That's called bubble sort. And turns out bubble sort also takes n squared time. In fact, most of the things that you can think of doing, another thing you could do is start out, let's see. Take the first element in your list, put it down and say, hey, we've got a sorted list of one element so far. Take the second element and see where it goes in that list. And then shift everything, make room for it. This is called insertion sort. It's also n squared. For each thing in the list, you might have to go all the way through that other list to figure out where to put it. So most of the natural sorting algorithms end up being n squared. But it turns out there's ideas that we can do to actually make this faster. We're going to make it n log n. How are we going to do that? Well, to do this, we're going to play a game called Guess Who. And we played this before with the South Park character, so this is more or less the same idea. So this is, so in this game, I'm thinking of one of the cards. So do I know which card I'm thinking of? Actually, the lecture notes are thinking of a card, because I'm not even sure which one it is. So we ask yes or no questions to try to figure out which card it's thinking of. So we can ask questions like, is it purple? Does it have diamonds on it? Are they filled in? Those are the sort of questions we can ask. So what kind of questions should we ask to minimize the number of questions to get the right answer? Do you remember this from the annoying South Park experiment? How does it eliminate the most? I saw you say it. You always want to ask a question that will split things in half. Because then you'll go from, in this case, there's 16 cards, then we'll get down to 8. No matter what, we'll get down to 8. No matter what, we'll get down to 4, 2, 1. So it'll be, if there's n elements up there, it'll be the log again. What's that?
But in this case, there's nothing you can ask to split up in half. You can have, like, maybe 1, 2, 3.
We can ask complicated questions.
68.
Well, let's see. 1, 2, so crosshatch is the first question. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, it looks like there's 5 of them.
What about, you could have said 3, is it 3 or 3?
Yeah, right. So we can make more complicated questions like we did in the South Park case so that we make sure that it really is the right size. Squiggles, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Ah, look at squiggles. So squiggle or not actually is a simple question that splits things in half. So that's a good question to ask if we always want to make the number of things as small as possible. So that's where we get log n, and this is the idea of binary search, which we just talked about. And I think, so here's scratch code for binary search. This is like a dream come true for me, because last time I taught this in a class, I had to use fake Scratch, because Scratch couldn't actually do binary search, because there's no way to talk about elements of lists. But now, this is an actual runnable Scratch program that you give it a list of sorted elements, and you ask, you know, is where would this element need to go? And it will actually, in log n time, find the right slot to put it in so that it goes in a sorted order. So, okay, what I'd like to do is to give you a sense, I think you kind of get this already, but this I'm hoping this will be a fun demo, is to give you a sense of the difference between linear scanning to find things and being able to use a sorted order and use binary search, is we're going to have you find your name. So get your clickers out. All right, so Sergio wrote this program. So maybe I'll do a quick intro. So what's going to happen is we've got, from the clicker registrations, we have associated with each of your clicker codes your, like, I guess they're Eden IDs or whatever. They're your kind of Rutgers code string, like your last name or your first name or your first initial and your last name, whatever you guys chose. You should be able to recognize your own. And when you click in, it's going to get added to a list in Sergio's program. And then what we're going to do is we're going to randomly assign each of you one of the letters, A, B, C, D, or E, just like on your clicker. And we'll put up all the names of everybody in the class. And what you need to do is find your own name and then click the letter that's next to your name. So if you, there's a B next, if you find your name and it's a B, click on B. Okay? And you want to do this as fast as possible while not being wrong. Sergio, what if they click on the wrong thing? There's like a laser that comes out and like and it stings you.
That won't be counted.
What's that?
That won't be counted at all.
It won't be counted. All right, right. So you basically, you know, you fail that. So, which is like a laser. So, but the deal is, though, I think, Sergio, your name may appear more than once. Is that true?
Yes.
But it always appears with the same letter. So if you're a lucky person who has your name up there a lot of times, you should be able to find your name very quickly. If you're an unlucky person, there's going to be this list of a lot of names, and you're going to have to go hunting to find yours. Okay? But that's basically simulating searching through different length lists. All right? And we want to look to see, as a function of how many times your name appears, how long does it take people to find those names? Oh, wow, cool. All right. So,
do you think my clicker is registered? Probably not.
Probably yes. All right, so do you want to tell us what to do?
Time? Or are you still adjusting?
I'm still adjusting.
I believe it says, humma, 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 humma. I don't know what that means.
Well, it starts with something else, but I added some numbers.
Does humma mean something in...
No.
It's not in, like in your home language?
It meant at the beginning. Okay.
Okay. This is fun so far. Oh, I see. He's configuring the program, so this will work. So we're going to do this two ways. You're going to find your name in the unsorted list, and then you're going to find your. Then after we do that, you're going to find your name in the sorted list, and we'll look to see. Does it matter? You know, how many times your name appears in the list, and does it matter whether it's sorted or not? Is it time?
Oh, it's the registration.
All right, so you need to just click any letter, right?
Yep.
So click A on your clicker, and it's just basically logging you as one of the participants in the game. It turns out it's sort of hard for us to predict which students are going to show up on any given day.
Yeah.
So those of you who have your clickers and are here, log in so we won't put a lot of other names that are not necessary up there. All right, anybody still need to go? All right, 53 people, 54 people. All right. Is that it?
Yep.
Oh. All right, find your name and click your letter. Not finding him or herself? Yeah. Wow, big pockets of people. What do you think, Sergio? Is it possible that some people got not put up there?
I took the last list of. So if the names are not registered for.
Yeah, sure, but then.
Yeah.
You have to get in your clicker grades online, right? Yeah, alright. No, but you don't think the program would have left some people out by accident?
If you didn't tell us your name, we can help them out.
Sure, sure. What's your code?
Sandrine.
Sandrine? Sandrine. So I'm pretty sure I wasn't up there. Yeah, some people don't seem to be up there.
Yeah, actually there are like 12 people up
All right, well, let's see if the demo works with who is up there.
Yeah.
All right, why don't we move on? The program seems, well, so it's hard to test this, right? So Sergiu is alone. I give him three clickers, and he does the best he can to try to imagine what it would be like with 50 people. And so it's,
okay.
We'll try to figure out what happened.
We'll start the next part.
All right, so now we're going to get, this is the unsorted list, but in a moment, he's going to put up the sorted list. So you're going to try to find your ID in the sorted list when as soon as he clicks go. So you ready? Go. Oh, I see. It only went up to J. That appears to be the problem. But those of you who...
I'll do it again, maybe.
Yeah? All right. All right, we're going to try again. You think you know what went... You're going to, like, change the code?
No.
No. You think it'll just work this time?
I'm going to change the parameters.
Say hi.
Thank you.
You need a calculator? All right, we're trying this again. This, once again, click your clicker, click A to get into the list. If you weren't up there last time, be optimistic. You may be up there this time. All right, get ready to find your name in the unsorted list. Go! It's always the same letter. Just click on the letter. All right, I don't seem to be up there. Sandrine, are you up there? Oh, yeah. All right, looks like almost everybody but me.
Here's about the instructor 3.
Oh, is there instructor 3?
Yep. Yeah, C.
Right, I'm going to click C. Thanks. No? All right, so it's not 100%, but it looks a little better than last time. All right, we're ready. Okay?
Okay, I'll sort the
list. Now this will be the sorted list. Oh, is it the same letter?
Yeah.
You didn't re-randomize the letter.
No, I didn't.
You can see that would be helpful.
Yeah, sure.
You're right. You just not here.
That's true. It's right. It's
yeah, you're right.
Honesty policy. All right. I think we're done. So let's see. Show results. Dun dun dun. All right. So let's read this graph. So this is what it's saying. So the right of the x-axis of the graph says how many times did your name appear when you went looking for it? One time, two times, four times, eight times, 16. And you can see that among the people who are the y-axis is the time it took to find the name. So the ones, on average, took longer than the 16s. 16s had lots of chances to just jump right to the right name. Now, we're also comparing the red or the unsorted list and the green is the sorted list. And you can see the green is pretty flat. That once the list was sorted, it didn't matter if your name was there a lot or a little. You could go right to it. But if the list was unsorted, then at least some of the people had to go through this very tedious process of checking everything one at a time. And you can see that it sort of trends downward, as you'd expect. So, what I was wondering is if this would actually be a linear plot and a log plot, but it didn't seem to turn out that way. At least it's hard to tell with the way that this was. But let's thank Sergiu for putting together a full demo. Very neat. All right, so we have a couple minutes left. Let's see if I can get through using this idea to make a sorting algorithm. Oh, so this is a sorting algorithm that works in Scratch. This is not a standard computer science sorting algorithm. But here's the basic idea. If you look on the left, what it does is it goes through all the elements of the deck one at a time, and for each one, it set item to item one of deck. Delete item one of deck. Broadcast, insert. Okay, so here's what it does. It takes the unsorted list. It takes the first thing from the unsorted list and removes it from the list. And now it has it in its hand. Then it calls this subroutine. And what this subroutine does is it uses binary search to find that item in the sorted list that it's made so far, or find out where that item ought to go. Once it finds the right place for it, it inserts it in the list. So let's think of what the analysis of this ought to be. If inserting it to the list takes just one operation, finding the position in the list is log n, and we have to do that for all n elements. So n, for each of the n elements, times log n, the amount of time to find its position, we have a sorting algorithm that runs effectively in n log n, which is a lot faster than n squared. In fact, if we run our little scratch demo, our white hat here is this binary search sort. Look how much faster it's adding things to the list. Bang, 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 bang. Done. All right? So you can see the hats at the end, they said how long they took to sort. Selection sort took 17 and a half seconds. This binary search sort took 5.5 seconds. And the reason for that is, for each element, it could do this very fast, oh, I know where this goes in the sorted list, bam, and it inserts it in there. Here's another guy, I know where that goes, bam. And so it's really doing very little work per item in the list. And in fact, if you watch it inserting the elements, they go at a very steady, very fast clip. Whereas the insertion sort, or the selection sort one was like, dun-dun-dun-dun, okay, this one's next, dun-dun-dun-dun, okay, this one's next. It had to scan all the way through each time, and it was taking quite a while. So that is the basic idea of these two sorts. Now, it turns out that you can't really do binary search sort because inserting something into a list, you can't just stick it in there and everything kind of fixes itself. You actually have to put it in there and then move, make room for it. So all the items have to be moved. So it ends up taking linear time. So binary search sort really is, it ends up being n squared also. But there are real n log n sorts. So what I'm going to do is explain one of them called quick sort. And I'll explain it using a movie. And then that might be all we have time for.
In an IT department on a Dell made in Texas, I met a complete disorder I didn't think I knew. I said, my name's Sebastian. He said, call me Quick Sorter, and since we're sharing cycles, won't you tell me what to do? I said I put my cards in order by running through my data and pulling out the smallest card from the ones here in my fist. And after I remove it, I start the process over, and after n times through the pile, got a sorted list. So he looked at me with pity and said, son, that ain't too pretty. Then times through a list of n, your time is quadratic. His voice fell to a whisper, and the disc band stopped its whining. Said, if you're gonna sort a list, boy, you got to learn to sort it quick. You got to know when to swap them, know when to stop them, know when to terminate, and know when to run, whether it's strings or numbers. If it's in place or it's stable, keep your time to do sorting to a minimum. It's the one I call the pivot. Split up the rest of them depending on their size. The big ones on the right I put on a stack for later. And if the left pile isn't sorted, the process I reprise. Each time I deal a card out, it joins a group that's smaller. Quite often half the size, so I said yes, but then with all those random pivots, you're gonna need to be quite lucky. He said you might call it gambling, but to me it's n log n. You got to know when to swap 'em,
when to swap 'em,
know when to stop 'em,
when to stop 'em,
know when to terminate, and know when to run, whether it's strings or numbers. If it's in place or it's stable, keep your time to do sorting to a minimum. You got to know stop them. Know when to terminate, know when to run, whether it's dreams or numbers. If it's in place or unstable, keep your time for doing a sorting to a minimum.
Next time, because you may not have gotten everything you needed to know from that one verse, but that's the basic idea. Thanks.